Hello out there, and welcome to IMPACT, the official podcast of Drexel University's School of Education's Education Doctorate Program. I'm Dr. Deanna Hill, here with my podcasting partner, Dr. Stephanie Smith-Budai, and we're pleased to have Dr. Tracy Dennis join us today on IMPACT. Dr. Dennis is assistant professor at California State University, Northridge. We're very excited to have Dr. Dennis as a guest today to learn about the impact that her Drexel EdD has had on her leadership and scholarship. So, Dr. Dennis, tell us about what you've been up to professionally since you graduated with your EdD in Educational Leadership and Management from Drexel.
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I have been on a journey, I will say, and I actually started out when I was getting my doctorate at Drexel. I was a professorial lecturer. Well, I started out as an instructor at American University, and then once I defended and got my doctorate, I became a professorial lecturer, and I was also the director of the undergraduate teacher education program. And so I stayed at AU for 6 years, and I've recently transitioned to California State University, Northridge, in the second as assistant professor. So I'm on tenure track now, and I am assistant professor in the School of Education, secondary education with an English emphasis.
All right, thank you, and congrats on your position. Sounds exciting. Send us thank all of your publications and everything that you will be producing while you are at California State University, Northridge. So you have been busy since completing your EdD. As you're aware, the Drexel EdD in Educational Leadership and Management is designed to prepare scholarly practitioners to identify and address problems of practice in their own professional contexts. So what made Drexel appealing to you, and then what were you looking for in a doctoral program when you decided on Drexel?
So Drexel was very appealing, one, because they had the hybrid model. I knew that I probably would not thrive completely online. So I think one of the things that motivated me and kept me accountable was having to get on the train from DC and going up to Philadelphia once a month and engaging with my colleagues and my working with the professors, seeing the professors face to face. So I really think some of the doctoral programs that are completely online are fine and they work for some people, but I believe Drexel offering that hybrid model was really beneficial for me, for someone like me who needs that face-to-face interaction, that socialization. I thrive off of relationships, so I feel like I was able to build meaningful relationships with my professors because I was in their face like once a month. And I also like the Center for Educational, the CEC. So Drexel does a lot of work around urban education and urban teaching, so that also was appealing to me.
Thank you. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have so many different formats of the EdD program. We do have the, as you mentioned, the hybrid options in Philadelphia and in DC, as well as all the way online. And we do try to make sure that students can choose a format that meets their needs, and whatever format they choose, we want to make sure that they feel like that they are a Drexel Dragon and that they can build those relationships. So we're glad to hear that. And just because you mentioned the CCUE, which if our listeners aren't aware of it, it stands for Critical Conversations in Urban Education. We'll actually be having our Social Justice Leadership Summit at February 3rd, 2023. So definitely hope that we'll see a lot of our alums there to support and learn and engage with us. So thank you for mentioning that.
Good trouble.
That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about your dissertation research. How did you come to the problem of practice you selected? What did you learn about it? And then what would you say has been the most significant impact of your dissertation?
So it's interesting because I actually did, my title is long, it was called A Phenomenological Study of African-American Student Perceptions of Urban Secondary Alternative Schools. And one of the things that I really wanted to study and I was really passionate about studying is I'm from Washington, D.C. I'm a native of D.C. And every year at the end of the semester or school year around June, NBC News, ABC News, CBS News, they would always have these news shows of like the marginalized or minoritized student who got accepted to 12 universities and got scholarships. And this is so great and wonderful. And the chancellor standing smiling with the student. And I always wondered, okay, that's the student who was able to achieve despite or overcome obstacles. But what about the students who didn't graduate with the 12 college offers or the 12 scholarships, like who's talking to them? Who's finding out from them what they need to thrive? And so I started to peel back, like think about, okay, the students who are in, who either did not graduate from high school or who either dropped out or were pushed out, they also deserve a chance to talk, and they deserve a voice and a platform to talk about what they would need in order to be the kid who's on the news with the 12 college acceptances. So I started to look at alternative schools. In that district, there were, the district was like 60% African-American, but the alternative school rates were 99 and 95% African-American. So African-American students were disproportionately represented in the alternative school environment. And these students were overage, undercredited. And so when I was talking to them, I was able to find out like what in their high school experience was not working for them, where they couldn't finish in a traditional high school. And so they were telling me what supports they had in place in the alternative schools. And one little girl said, you know, we're not bad kids. We have goals, we have dreams. She wanted to be an OBGYN. And she was like, but the traditional high school environment, she didn't get the support that she needed. She didn't have the resources. So it's like, I feel like my dissertation study was helping so that you can see these kids, right? These kids are beautiful. These kids are brilliant. And they deserve to thrive just like all of the rest of the kids. Sorry, that was a little passionate, but I'm passionate about that work.
Dr. Dennis, your dissertation research indeed has had significance in many areas. It is really incredible to hear about its impact. And as you know, one of the Drexel differences is our focus on sustainable leadership. Now, that includes a lot, right? Understanding systems, how they work, coming to understand one's own worldview, values, beliefs, and habits of mind, and how all those things influences our own leadership. So how did this impact the way that you see yourself within your own context as a leader?
Ooh, I learned so much from Drexel around that, like the ladder of inference, the iceberg. And so one of the things that I remember one of my professors saying is I had started a new job and the participants weren't, they weren't, the faculty group was not doing, I was designing curriculum and the teachers weren't using the curriculum. Like, and I was like, oh, I'm getting all this pushback. The curriculum is high quality. Why aren't they using it? And one of my professors was saying structure affects behavior over time. And I was like, I still don't understand. I don't understand. And it finally dawned on me when the professor said, go back and look at what the history is in that district. And what I found out is they would roll out all new initiatives, new programs, policies, and it never took hold. It never stuck. So in the teacher's minds, it was like, oh, this is going to go away too, this new curriculum, like everything else. So we're not going to implement it. And so when I started to understand how people's beliefs and assumptions and histories, like what happened before, impacts what anything new that you're trying to roll out and change, that really, really impacted my leadership and the way that I lead. Because when I was the director of the teacher education program, whenever I would roll out a new initiative or I would roll out a new type of program or what we were going to implement, I was very cognizant of focusing on like what people's mental models were. So what their beliefs, their values, their assumptions about what we were doing, and just really honing in on myself and looking at my beliefs, values, and assumptions when I led. And that served me well, because when I had teacher candidates who weren't necessarily performing in the way that I value performance, I was quick to like, oh, well, they shouldn't be in this program. And then I had to reframe my thinking and say, okay, Tracy, just because that's what you believe and you value, do not impose your values and beliefs on teacher candidates. Some people, you know, function in different ways. And so I think it helped me with my leadership, because I was able to kind of meet the teacher candidates or whoever I was leading, the faculty that I was working with, in a different way, because I was able to kind of internalize what they may believe, what they may assume, and what happened before, right? What's lurking beneath the iceberg that may be causing this resistance that isn't necessarily rooted in anything that's directed toward me, if that makes sense.
So Dr. Dennis, you may know that the Drexel EDD program has always been focused on equity and social justice. In fact, we recently updated our keystones to make that more visible and to make that more explicit. So I'm curious, can you talk a little bit about how your experiences as a Drexel EDD student really contributed to your ability to contribute to equity, social justice, and or anti-racist practices in your current professional practice?
It's so interesting because when I was doing my dissertation research, my supervising professor was talking to me about frameworks and research, culturally sustaining pedagogy. We talked about funds of knowledge. We talked about community cultural wealth, Terry Yoso's work. And so through my literature review and my dissertation, kind of when I was looking at the literature, I became aware of frameworks. And Dr. Ladson Billings is another one. I actually became aware of frameworks and different theories that really served me well when it was time to like transition to becoming a teacher educator. And so I did have the unique experience of working with Dr. Ibram Kendi at American University. And I was on a grant. I was the PI on a grant. It was called the we created a 9-module curriculum, and it was called the Anti-Racist Teacher Professional Development Curriculum. And we piloted it with a group of teachers in the country, in the world. And so we got the feedback on the curriculum. And so I was able to also spend my summer creating a course called Introduction to Anti-Racist Pedagogies, Theories, Research, and Practices. And I piloted the Introduction to Anti-Racist Pedagogy course. And so I feel like my initial dissertation research and my work at Drexel laid the foundation for me to go on to become a teacher educator or anti-racist scholar who actively practices and engages teacher candidates in interrogating their beliefs, values, and assumptions, and working to kind of disrupt and dismantle some of the systemic racism that's going on in school systems around the country.
That's excellent. And it's another example of the successful career that you've already had. So out of all of the things that you mentioned, and maybe some things that you haven't, what would you say has been the greatest impact of the EDD on your career thus far?
It's interesting because during the pandemic and after George Floyd was murdered, I was like flooded with requests to do professional development at community colleges, at schools, at districts. And I think the greatest impact probably to date has been being sought out again as an anti-racist scholar or anti-racist expert, and delivering professional development to faculty in different community colleges, school districts, just being seen. Oh, even I did one in Tokyo, Japan. So I did an international training around culturally sustaining pedagogy. And so I feel like just that is such a huge, to me, it was such a huge, the word I'm looking for is like acknowledgement of my work. And I felt very humbled by having people reach out to me around the world to do anti-racist diversity, equity, and inclusion trainings. I also did it for my university. I was on the inaugural cohort. It was called the Faculty Development Leadership Cohort. And we did DEI trainings for about 300 of the faculty in my university. And then I also was the inaugural chair of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee for my university. So I feel like the Drexel kind of laid the foundation for the DEI work that I was able to meaningfully engage in throughout my career.
Wow, talk about systemic and global impact. That's amazing. Well, so I guess the next logical question here is, what's next for you professionally? Where do you see yourself, 3-5 years from now? What additional impact would you like to have?
So I'd really love to look at, and I'm feeling like this is really important African-American girls. So I really want to look at, like, we're underrepresented, we're pushed out, we're marginalized, I want to empower African-American girls. And what I'm hoping to do is, one, help them get back into the teaching profession, even higher ed. I wanted to start a volunteer organization called Sisters with Hoods, so that I could, like, have younger students, like 9th and 10th grade. Drexel helped me out a lot. Like, I really was taken explicitly through, you know, how to write chapter one, chapter two, how to write a literature review. But I didn't have, coming in, I didn't have the research skills. I didn't have the language. And I think some of my colleagues came in with a stronger foundation. I didn't even know on day one, like, what a finished dissertation looks like. And so I think giving younger, even high school, like teaching them how to do qualitative research, teaching them how to do quantitative research, how to conduct an interview. I'd really like to do some sort of work. I'd love to continue the teacher education because I feel like that's super important. And I think I would like to eventually, like, do something with, like I said, African-American girls and teaching them how to become researchers and scholars and empowering them to see that they also can have a voice.
That's great. And your research aligns with what we hope our EDD alums are doing with their leadership and practice. And we wish you all the best with that. You know, we want to thank you for sharing the impact that the EDD has had on your professional practice. And it seems like it has been quite impactful and that you're just getting started at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you have time, we want to ask you a few lighter questions.
Yes.
All right. So the first one is, if you could choose only one, what superpower would you select?
Being able to read people's minds.
Do you want to say anything about it, or that's just the superpower?
Yeah, because I feel like sometimes, like, people might say something out of there, like, you may not know how to, like, really help and support someone, or you may be offending someone. So I think being able to read people's minds would help me to be more empathetic, more intentional, provide people with what they need.
All right, that's wonderful. That is so wonderful.
So this may be hard to answer on the spot, but how would you describe your perfect day?
Ooh, yes. I'd be at the beach with sun and my toes in the sand and have nothing technology related. Like, yeah. Except music, maybe jazz music.
All right. Well, the jazz music is a little connected to the last question. Possibly. What has been the best live performance? So either concert, play, et cetera, that you have seen?
So, ironically, my uncle is a jazz musician, and he just had his 85th birthday celebration at Carnegie Hall, and he played with Miles Davis, George Duke, Stanley Clark, Herbie Hancock. And so it was just, he's like the most recorded, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the most recorded bassist in history. And so he went through kind of like his whole career trajectory. Now he's 85. And so I think that concert, because it was meaningful to me as watching his career evolve, but also just the music he plays. I mean, he's been on Tribe Called Quest album. He's been on Black Sheep. He's a jazz legend. So I think his concert, and I just saw it, it was in June where they did the tribute to him at Carnegie Hall. So I think that was probably the best concert that I've been to in a while.
Oh, that's amazing. And congrats to your uncle and for that family legacy. World Book of Records.
Do you want to give him a shout out so people can look him up?
Yes, Uncle Ron Carter. They just did a PBS documentary on him October 21st. And it's an hour and 57 minutes long. I've only watched the first hour, but it's really good. He talks about the racism he encountered. He wasn't allowed to perform in certain venues. So it's called Finding the Right Notes. And it's basically my Uncle Ron his life legacy, like how he started with the cello and classical music and the doors that were closed in his face because of his race, and how he's like reached like the pinnacle of his career, but he's still doesn't feel like it, he's still finding the notes. And I liked it because it was more about the man than the music. But if you all have a chance, it's on PBS. So.
And his name is Ron Carter.
Ron Carter, yes.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. I have to check it out myself. It has been a pleasure to have EDD alumnus Dr. Tracy Dennis on Impact today. Thank you, Dr. Dennis, for sharing with us. We are always incredibly honored and excited to hear the amazing ways our EDD alums are having an impact in the world. Dr. Dennis's bio will be posted with the link to the episode on our EDD webpage. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Impact. We look forward to the next episode where we hear from other alums about the impact that earning a Drexel EDD has had on their professional practice, research, policy changes, and the larger society. Goodbye for now.